This is Silverstone and this is edition 184 of the NRF1 podcast. Well, hello, welcome to edition 184 of the NRF1 podcast. I'm Michael Bailey. We are, of course, here with our usual proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. Go to nrf1.uk and you'll be able to find all the links to join them. The British Grand Prix has just finished. We are stood on the start-finish straight along with hundreds of thousands of people. Well, that's probably not true, but a lot of people. I'm also stood here with Kyle Cumbers and Richard Baxter, having taken in the action at Silverstone. And obviously, because it's only just finished and it's actually just started raining, and we're barely an hour. No, barely. We're less than an hour since the race finished. So had the race gone on a little bit longer, maybe we would have actually have seen some rain action, but there we go.
I can see Niki Lauda's head.
You can see Niki Lauda's head.
The back of it.
Yes, he's being interviewed.
You can tell by his hat, of course.
Of course. And his face.
Not from the back.
No, that's true. That's very true. Now, we're obviously very pumped because we've sat at Hangar Straight, basically on Stowe Corner. What an incredible position to watch the racing, by the way. And it didn't really matter that all the overtakes were DRS overtakes, so it's still good enough to watch. So we're pretty pumped. We've had a great time, Carl, and really enjoyed the race, yeah?
Yeah, it's the first time I watched the race live, and it was, yeah, I was pleased. I was pleased with the victory because everybody's in such a good mood. So the championship was now down to 1 point. It's just a mega race.
Oh, good knowledge. I literally haven't got a clue what's happened other than what's happened in front of my face.
For about 20 yards back, I heard some bloke say to his friend, so I'm taking his word for it. But yeah, it's just a mega day.
If you head over to nrf1.uk/nrf1tube, you'll be able to hopefully see some videos once we get them up, and there'll be loads of pictures on the social media feeds too. I have to say, I've enjoyed this. I covered the race for 3 years. This has been much more fun because you actually get to see the racing live rather than being in a warehouse watching it on the telly. And now just the scale of the fans here lapping up what's going on is absolutely fantastic. Rich, what have you made of it all?
It's been good. It's been exciting. There's been lots to see. I don't really know where to look because you look somewhere and there's something else happening. And that was the same on track, to be honest, because there's quite a lot of things going on at the same time. Because we completely, towards the end, we missed Ricciardo overtaking Hulkenberg because two Ferraris failed, basically.
Indeed. I imagine we're still the only ones at Silverstone calling Daniel by his correctly pronounced name, as is, of course, how the NRF1 podcast works. I'm going to keep saying it, so hopefully it'll be absorbed. It's rained and stopped raining in the time it's got to record this, and it is the third time of trying to record it. So technical issues besetting us, so apologies if we're not quite as snap on it as we were the first two times we recorded everything, but there we go. Kyle.
Absolute mega day. First time I watched the race live, been to qualifying and practice. But just the atmosphere just made it special. The home win, the fact that 95% of the people here seem pretty damn happy. And watching Hamilton cement his place as a legend of British motorsport. And the fact that we watched the race in a pretty cool place.
Oh, what a selection. And thanks to everyone who helped recommend where we should stand, because we absolutely nailed it. It's just about to rain again, which is very exciting. 100,000 umbrellas go up in unison. I will be putting up my hood. So there we go. And this will no doubt help with the technical issues we've been having. It's almost hail. It's a shame it didn't happen during the race. But there we go. We still got a very dramatic race anyway. It is absolutely levering it down. Just to say that we're on the start-finish straight. Where tens of thousands of people have congregated. It amazing thing to see everyone piling on to the grid like that. And I've always missed that. Within the 3 years when I covered this race, I was still stuck in the motor in the press centre, which is basically a warehouse where you watch the race on telly. This experience has been completely different and an absolutely fantastic one. And it would be interesting, as I said, to know what you guys at home think of it compared to what we have thought of it watching it live. Whether it came across on telly just as dramatic and exciting in the end. If you want to see some of the views we've had from our day at Silverstone, then just check out all the social media feeds, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. The handle is at the NRF1, or of course YouTube. You can visit nrf1.uk/nrf1tube, and that will deliver you some videos once I get them up and I get some battery power and all that sort of stuff. Rich, your taste of live Formula One?
It's brilliant. It's great. It's really enjoyable. I'm reliving it now. The highlights are on the big screen behind you.
So. Are they behind me? I'm cowering in the rain.
It's quite sunny.
Well, we can actually see what happened elsewhere now, can't we? We should touch on Lewis. As Kyle mentioned, he's now a quadruple, four successive wins here at Silverstone. He's a five-time winner of the British Grand Prix, which is something only Alan Prost and Jim Clark have also managed. So Lewis, properly up there at the very top of British drivers here at his home. Well, drivers at the British Grand Prix, but certainly British drivers, of course. What's more, he's now only a point behind Sebastian Vettel in the 2017 World Championship. Fastest lap, pole position, and literally no one got close to him today on track, did they?
No, and I just saw in the big sign it said it was his 57th race win. So, not bad.
No, not bad.
Career, is it?
No, he hasn't finished yet either. And he's a pole now, isn't he, behind Michael Schumacher as well after his pole here earlier as well. So just a phenomenal weekend. And fair to say that I think what we saw today is Mercedes being a quicker car than Ferrari, ultimately, for all the tyre issues that Ferrari ended up having.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Valtteri Bottas' race, started ninth, wasn't it? Yeah. Finished second, overtake Vettel on track. I know Vettel had his issues, but I think that part of those were due to the pressure from Bottas. Yeah, Mercedes have taken a step forward. Ferrari always seemed the consistent car. Still seems consistent, but Mercedes has now got the quicker car.
That's exactly it. And that's going to be a worry for Ferrari because they kind of mucked it up a little bit, didn't they? I mean, it's remarkable that Kimi Raikkonen finished on the podium, having to pit on the last lap. Seb obviously had an issue then with one of his tyres, and that went completely. I don't even know where Seb finished in the end, but
seventh,
but you guys at home will probably know better than us at the moment. Maybe they'll tell us on the replays. But is that, how much of a worry is that for Ferrari, do you think?
It's kind of strange it happened to both cars as well, pretty much exactly at the same time, because their drivability and everything is supposed to be pretty good this season. Whether he had locked up and damaged the tyre, maybe both of them had done the same thing, or I mean, we had all the issues with tyres here a few years ago, so it's a shame to kind of have them again. But it was kind of pleasing in some ways, because we saw what happened to Raikkonen, and we thought, oh, he's going to finish behind Vettel again, but no, same happened to Vettel, so Raikkonen still got the podium place.
Exactly, and as it happened, of course, Red Bull's, I can't remember who Max Verstappen's engineer is, but he made the point to Max that that's why we brought you in, so you didn't suffer the same fate as Kimi and Seb, which is effectively a tyre failure. Phenomenal atmosphere, as we said here at Silverstone, the noise as Lewis Hamilton came round to celebrate, and he made sure he took the time to be proper close to the fans. And I don't know if it's a charm, I don't think it's fair probably to call it a charm offensive, but he's certainly been on top form given some of the stick he got, fairly or unfairly, come Wednesday and missing London Live.
Yeah, I think he had a rough Thursday when he turned up at Silverstone, and he was getting a lot of grief from a lot of journalists saying why he wasn't there. But I think this weekend he's made the time, which I think he does every year. It wasn't just this weekend. It's just good to see a driver thoroughly enjoying a win, enjoying it with fans, just having a good time, which Formula 1 should be. You know, it should be a celebration of motorsport. And hopefully we haven't seen the last of him. He might pop up anytime soon. So
exactly. I'm just really chuffed I'm no longer the Jinx, because what I should say is I covered this race for 3 years for the media in Norfolk. And each of those 3 years, I think the closest I saw to any kind of positive action was Lewis Hamilton managing to sneak fifth off Felipe Massa at the final corner here. And then as soon as I stopped going, Lewis won it for 3 years on the trot. So I was a little bit worried that I was going to rock up and it would all go up, but it didn't go up. So there we go. As I say, fantastic atmosphere with all the fans wandering around. I'm making sure that we tell them that we are the NRF1 podcast, so that people will listen to us. And probably at this point, we should shout out to Joe Orton, who is standing near us on the corner, and quite clearly a Seb fan. He got very excited at one point. Brilliant to watch when Seb was trying to get past Max Verstappen. Looked like he was going to complete the move under DRS, and then somehow Max did a brilliant job of fending him off. And probably that was about as good as it got for Joe, and we're just seeing the lockup from Seb as well, which I don't know, it may well have proved one of the issues over the course of the race. Brilliant drive from Valtteri Bottas, and I can't remember if we've touched on that, but from, was it P9 on the grid after his gearbox penalty? And as we said, it kind of it showed just how quick Mercedes were around here today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bottas was absolutely flying. He was catching Raikkonen towards the end anyway, and of course Raikkonen had the failure, so he took second place. But he's had two really good drives recently. done really well. And of course there's one point, it's almost a bit of a backwards deja vu, because of course we saw him the other day holding off Vettel, and today it was Vettel trying to hold him off. But yeah, obviously he didn't work in the end, and he had a great race. And yeah, I think he won over quite a few British fans as well with fighting Vettel and getting past him. So
the cheers were as big as any Lewis Hamilton times he came by. So yeah, I think he's a firm favourite at the moment.
Here's to more examples of backwards deja vu. That's a great. You really do come up with these fantastic phrases. As Carl mentioned, they're just replaying the highlights of the race. We're just watching Lewis take the checkered flag and arms up. Very, very happy scenes, and happy scenes as well from the wing. Everyone kind of playing up to the crowd that's congregated here on the start-finish straight. Flags galore. No jump start issues this time. We can see the lights in front of us. We got to do a little bit of celeb spotting, didn't we? Because it just so happened our point was on the... We had the track in front of us. Behind us, we had the helicopter landing pads. So we saw Nico Rosberg arrive in a pretty awful suit, I thought, with no socks. So we agreed?
Absolutely, yeah. He's gone for the no socks approach again. I mean, it wasn't allowed in Wimbledon the other day, so he took the risk coming here. But I'm sure they let him in.
I'm sure they did let him in, because he was on the start, wasn't he? On the grid for some reason. Not really sure why. Great shot there of Lewis Hamilton jumping out of his car. And of course, he did some crowd surfing. I wasn't sure if he was going to stand up to his promise, but he did. And not only that, he did it before he went into the press conference. I'm sure my media hack friends will have been delighted to have been kept waiting for that. And looked like he was enjoying himself.
Yeah, I mean, he deserved to enjoy himself a bit, hasn't he? Because, I mean, yeah, he was in for some stick, but he showed up today, gave the fans a great day. And I mean, he does, when he's at the circuit, he really does give the, you know, treat the fans. And I mean, did any other drivers come out and jump into the crowd and say hello to anyone? Because I mean,
the rest of them were all miserable, Rich.
You know what the fans are like. Where's Kimi?
He's really miserable. Although, I mean, I personally didn't see much chance of him winning the race, but there we go. We've got a Mexican wave going on from the wing. From all the people with lots of money, so that's good. I don't know, they may be famous, I don't know. We should probably touch on the other British driver in the race, who obviously talking it up as much as anyone could. And then, I don't know what it was, something to do with the brakes, wasn't it? Brake pedal, and he didn't even make it round the formation lap, and it happened right in front of us, like everything today, Kyle. It happened right in front of us, and yeah. Poor Jolyon getting a round of applause and just looked a bit distraught, as you can imagine.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, especially as he saw how well Hülkenberg raced. I mean, obviously, Hülkenberg had a different floor this weekend, a new floor.
Which was a sizable performance gain.
Yeah, but he still qualified 11th, so he had a decent chance of getting some points, and he's just got absolutely... He's... I'm just slightly disturbed by her.
I'm just going to say, we've just got a lady behind us who seems to have a cardboard cutout of Sebastian Vettel with some joke glasses and a tooth missing and brake on the side, which I quite like that. Right, let's speak to her. What's your name?
I'm Yaz.
Yaz. Hello there. Now, what's the thinking behind the cardboard cutout of Sebastian Vettel?
He needed some glasses. He should have gone to Specsavers, shouldn't he, really?
So, at the point when Seb's tyre blew this afternoon, what were you doing at that point? What was going through your mind?
I didn't really think I was going, oh, wow! Yeah. Along with everybody else going, oh!
Exactly. You've got three Union Jacks there. Delighted for Lewis?
Of course. Absolutely. I think we've done really well. But we've also brought the Prancing Horse's new girlfriend.
Oh, my God. That's a unicorn.
Yes.
Wow. What's it called?
It's the Prancing Horse's new girlfriend, okay. But he's keeping it under wraps at the moment.
Okay.
You know, keeping the publicity down a bit.
Fantastic. Oh, don't blame him. Oh, yeah. Oh, we've got the unicorn off of the Despicable Me as well. This is good. We'll get a picture as well. Can we take a picture?
And it also, when he gets it going, it drives like a Mercedes AMG.
Is this the mobility scooter?
Yeah, it sounds exactly like one.
I can imagine that. It's going to take McLaren. That would do Fernando Alonso on the straight, wouldn't it?
It would.
Thank you so much for talking to us. We'll take a picture.
Hello, everyone. This is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
Well, I think we were talking about Jolyon Palmer before all that, which was wonderful. Poor Jolyon. I mean, not only what he's had to deal with today, but the fact that all that speculation about Robert Kubica, the speculation about Carlos Sainz, the speculation then again, who else was it? Was there someone else? It feels like everyone is going to take...
Sorokin, of course, as always.
Sorokin, yeah. I mean, basically, I'm probably... Verlaine, yeah, that was right. Yeah. I'm basically going to take his seat, I think, by the end of the end of the summer.
A different day, a different driver at the moment, isn't it? So, and it would have been... If he is replaced after the summer break, which seems a rumour, it would have been nice for him to have a decent British Grand Prix.
But, I mean, we've given him as much stick as anyone for various issues, but, I mean, so much of it is reliability, or just not getting a chance. Like today, I mean, for a car not to work after, you know, beyond the formation lap.
It's unbelievable. I mean, he was under all that pressure, and he puts in his, you know, best or equal best qualifying performance of the season. I mean, possibly not quite ever, is it? I think he has got into Q3 before. But, you know, he did brilliant in qualifying, so close to the top 10. He comes into the race, it's all looking positive. And you're excited because you're thinking he can get points here. He could, you know, really do well. And you look where his teammate came with the upgrade, and he was sixth, or I think it was, or something in the end. And you think, without that, it would have been, you know, late points, you know, 8, 9, 10 maybe. And if he could have just... If the car would have just worked. And he's under all that pressure. And then it's like, it doesn't help when your team take you out on the Friday to put someone else in to have a go. You screw your whole weekend up. And then when he finally gets a nice, clean weekend together, his car fails. And it's, so it feels so sorry for the guy.
Yeah, absolutely, spot on. It's a wretched time for him. He's got one more go, hasn't he? Before the summer break, Budapest, Hungary.
In 2 weeks' time. So, I mean he must be due some luck. I mean, a big bunch of good luck he deserves. So let's just hope it works out for him. But, I mean, the good thing for Renault is their car was pretty quick today. They were the best of the rest and quite a decent way ahead of Force India. So hopefully that can carry on to... other tracks, and you think if a car's quick around here, then it should be pretty quick in other places. So, good move from Renault, one side of the garage, anyway.
Fingers crossed, eh? Okay, I think it's time for the NRF1 pit stops. It's great, we've actually got real car effects at the start, and now real pit stop sort of effects in the background. But
engine revving,
that's all we need, wheels, isn't it?
The wheel guns going off.
Love
Alonso's
it.
Car being pushed, which is the fastest it's gone all day.
I mean, that was the least predictable, most predictable thing, seeing Fernando going slow, and you're like, ah, that's what it feels like to watch that live. Noticeably, the only car without a T-wing, the McLaren, today, for some particular reason, but there we go. There's a little bit more room on the start-finish straight now. A few people making their way home. We're going to hang around until the grim death. Probably be the last ones out of the building to make the most of it. But there we go.
This is about P4 that we're standing on right now, isn't it?
P3, I reckon.
It's first on the left or right?
First on the left.
Right. So 1, 2. So you're right.
Yeah. We're on the.
I was kind of backwards.
Yeah. Well done. So P3. Nice. We should probably take a picture of us here. We've done pictures of everywhere else. Red Bull. They had a pretty decent race of it. I guess they were playing catch up. And you know, Daniel Ricciardo had a pretty difficult start of it, so the fact that he came back through to finish, I think, 6th was it, or 7th, something like that. See, we don't know, we're here.
5th?
Or was he 5th?
I don't know.
So
he overtook Hülkenberg, didn't he?
Yeah, and Seb, so yeah, quite possibly 5th.
And Verstappen was 4th.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they both had to catch up, but yeah. I mean, clearly, you can see there's a gap. But they are kind of in a middling zone on their own, and they actually did okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Ted Kravitz behind us walking down the pit lane.
Ted Kravitz,
there's Ted. Shorts as always, wandering down the pit lane.
Good of him to dress up. Yeah, I mean, and we did see one of the probably highlights was Seb's battle with Max Verstappen and the great defending, most of it in front of us at the end of Hangar Straight.
Yeah, he showed his skill again. Vettel was getting pretty frustrated. I mean, obviously they undercut him and they couldn't hang on for too long, but it was a good bit of racing. And like, as you said, Ricciardo's battle from the back. Well, I think we'll have to watch it again because we didn't see it, but I think he had a decent start and then ended up back last again somehow. They just need probably half a second, a bit more off the pace of Ferrari. But Budapest probably will suit them, so they've got a decent chance next time out.
It was nice to see Max in the flesh racing.
It was, yeah. I mean, he's
and Daniel, Daniel Ricciardo, both of them. That you can get the sense of why they're, you know, exciting characters that people want to root for.
Well, absolutely, and they are friendly to the fans as well. I mean, this isn't for either of them at their home country, and they're, you know, as we saw on the driver parade that's going around the old Triumphs, they're both there, both smiling, both waving, and you get someone else go past and he's just sat there, doesn't care, and it's like, you know, do something. These people come out to see her, and yeah, I mean, it was great to see him. And anyone basically today who was going to be pushing Vettel hard was going to get a cheer, I think. And yeah, he did. There's someone with a Caterham t-shirt behind us as well. So
yes, and there were actually some Caterham umbrellas for sale and Caterham t-shirts I saw on one of the merchandise stands. How does that work?
Were they for sale or were they giving them away?
I don't think anyone gives anything away here in Silverstone. True, yes, this, true, is, yeah. This is not a cheap place to come. And if it's sellable, it will be for sale.
Was there just some of their leftover crowdfunding from a few years ago?
Someone's made some money out of it, that's all I know. And we've got a band playing at the moment, so they're doing their thing probably around the other far side. We're sort of still hanging around on the start-finish straight, seeing if anything's going to happen. I'm sure it will. I guess, you know, Lewis might fancy a bit more crowd surfing. We might see Jensen. He's been around, hasn't he?
Yeah, we're good to see him.
Who else have we seen? Nico Rosberg. We saw
Jackie Stewart.
Jackie Stewart on his chopper, just came, his helicopter, I should say, not like bicycle chopper. Yeah. Yeah, just came, landed, strolled out with a nice green Heineken top to go with his green tartan.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing a good job for Heineken there, I thought, Jackie. And you can follow that on our social media feeds and Instagram stories. They're all handle is at the NRF one. You have to apologize, we had a few technical issues at the start, so this is the third time recording. I literally can't remember which ones got recorded, which didn't make the recording, so if I'm repeating myself, A, I've done the edit badly, and B, I am repeating myself, but there we go. Yeah, so follow all those social media channels and you'll be able to see and hear some of the sights we've seen. We saw Nico Rosberg arrive on the helicopter pad. It should be said that we could see the track if we looked forwards. If we looked behind us were the helicopter pads and for hospitality. So Nico Rosberg turned up in a pretty god-awful suit and no socks.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. Yeah, he went for the no-sock approach again, but he was allowed in this venue, not like Wimbledon the other day.
Does that mean the standards are lower here, or is that what happens when you're a world champion in the actual sport you're watching?
I think it helps when you're the world champion anyway. I think standards are probably lower as well, but yeah. Be interesting if they turned Roger Federer away from Wimbledon with no socks, but yeah, anyway.
I think he could walk on water there, probably, to be honest. What else should we touch on then in terms of the racing? McLaren, we got to see a real-life DNF. I think I probably said that already, but and actually, that was for Fernando, who had a pretty wretched weekend of it, and Anonymous, but Stoffel van Dorn had a pretty decent time of it.
I thought he had a really good race.
Do we know where he finished?
Top 10, I think.
You think it was top 10?
I think it was top 10.
I don't know if he dropped out of top 10.
He's 11.
Can we get 3G now, 4G? Go on, Rich, you check. But anyway, to be honest, he still had a pretty good weekend, and he is settling into the rhythm of this now at McLaren, isn't he?
And Red Bull.
Shouts for Ted Kravitz there. Will he reply? I think he's now doing his notebook.
That's Haas factory, who... I don't know where they finished either.
Should we try and recreate his notebook? So Ted is just outside Haas. What's he going to be saying about Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen?
Grosjean finished 13th and Magnussen finished 12th. Magnussen was out for a hell of a long time. Probably a bit too long on his tyres. But it wasn't too bad. Pretty average race for them. But
see, that's basically what Ted's doing over there. That's literally what he's saying. He's just a bit closer.
Now that he's probably got the interesting garage between the Toro Rossos.
Yes, Carlos Sainz and Daniel Kvyat. What do you make of that? Because they basically collided and Daniel took Carlos out of the race
and then blamed it on him as well. So and then also he was at the back, he had no pace whatsoever. I think
he had damage, didn't he, because he had to take it easy from pretty
like the McQueen beat him, I think, towards the end. But
we've got a message from Druti Kvyat, now on 9, got 9 points on his licence. When does it renew or get renewed, do you know?
No idea, but I mean it's a similar position to Vettel, isn't it? I mean, if he gets another 3 points in the next few races, I guess he's got to serve a race ban.
Well, if he keeps driving like that, he will. We are officially saying, I mean, because obviously Daniel felt that Carlos just turned into him, but
yeah, it's definitely his fault. He's just not, he's had a rough time again. I was kind of hoping he'd turn the corner at the start of the year, but he's going backwards again, unfortunately for Danny. But from Sainz Red Bull, he's seat safe next year at Toro Rosso, which is a bit surprising. But
maybe he's trying to test that theory as much as possible. And the Saubers also got a little bit racy, didn't they? Marcus Ericsson wasn't too happy. But actually, I think, who came out on top of Marcus and Verlaine?
It was Ericsson in 14th and Verlaine 17th. So.
And, you know, that's good on Ericsson because he had to battle for that. He would be pretty chuffed how that turned out, I think. Is Ted still getting cheers?
Oh, I can see the side of David Coulthard's head.
David Coulthard's head. Oh, and I can see Mark Webber and Susie Wolf. Rich, go and take a picture.
Do you want me to try and get one of them to talk?
Yeah, go on.
So I'll just go and jump over, just shout.
Yeah,
and...
yeah, well, don't get yourself arrested, but you know, go.
Before you go, can you give us your keys so we can get home?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we need to get home in the Mustang. Rich, you go and take a picture, and we will tweet the best picture you take of this instance. I mean, it's a difficult task, isn't it, Carl?
Yeah, he's up against it, but he's a tall lad. He might be able to make his way.
He is a tall lad. There's not much to him, so he can probably wheedle in between.
Oh.
But someone's put their kid on their shoulders, so he has got a disadvantage there, Rich.
He's coming back now. Any decent?
That was quick.
Yeah, you can get fairly close. Zoom, thing on a camera
now. I think Zoom's cheating, isn't it? All right, well, we'll tweet that picture, and you can all see if you can make out who they are. But yeah, we can see Mark Webber, Susie Wolfe, and David Coulthard in full interview mode with Steve Jones, of course, who did follow the NRF1 podcast on Twitter. Now, I don't know if he still does.
He still does, actually.
Does he? Thanks. Good. Yeah. I hope he's enjoying the podcast. They're now wandering off. There goes NRF1 follower, Steve Jones. any excuse. Still loads of people here on the start-finish straight. It has stopped raining again, thankfully. Flags, banners out. As I said, you can see all the pictures that we've been taking. We'll take some more pictures as well before we go as we finish up. So the Force Indias, Carl, we should touch on them. They were pretty close most of the race, actually, and Esteban Ocon came out on top.
Yeah, it's a good result for him. I mean, I think Perez was probably within a second most of the race. But
I can't remember if I saw something that said that Perez has never out-qualified his teammate around here. So I don't know if this is something like that. Or never outperformed his teammate here. One of those two. Really surprising stat, as if to say Sergio doesn't really like this track.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. There's obviously we've got the great battle at the front. But as each race goes by, you got the Force India, the little rivalry between them two is starting to increase. Sauber, as we saw today, and Toro Rosso, obviously, that's going off the chart, the rivalry at the moment. So it's quite, got a great battle at the front, but also the mid-pack is interesting as well. So.
I think what Carl touched on there is really interesting, isn't it, Rich? Because a lot of people will sit at home and watch the racing on telly, and it's brilliant because everything is covered. And we're obviously stood here, not quite sure a lot of the things that have happened. We're not entirely sure. We haven't really got that clarity. That's why we'd also record a little bit later, maybe a day or two, so we just collect our thoughts. But to see the racing live, if you get the right spot, you get to really follow how things are developing each last lap. And my goodness, it goes quickly.
It does. Absolutely flew past. It felt like, you know, half an hour, and it was the race gone. But no, it was really brilliant. If you get, you know, choose the right spot. I mean, we had one. We were lucky enough to see most of a big screen. So we could keep track of the rest of the race as well at the same time. But it was brilliant. Great place to watch where we had. And go to F1. It's worth it.
Go to F1. I mean, we would say that anyway, probably. But there we go. We're going to do proper F1 style walk and talk now, boys.
Okay.
To do our Of the Weekend awards. I think David Coulthard's lapping up the crowd. I guess Channel 4 is still broadcasting at the moment. But let's do our Of the Weekend, shall we, and see if we can remember what's happened over the weekend so we can dish them out. But, Driver of the Weekend, can we look beyond Lewis? Because, you know, domination. And I know the car is dominant too, but still.
It's the obvious
and also
one.
History books.
Yeah, it's the obvious one, but probably mentions for Bottas for his recovery drive and Hülkenberg, as we mentioned earlier. Great drive in sixth. Yeah, it was sick, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I have lost track. Rich? Maybe Ricciardo?
maybe no. I think you have to give it to Lewis because it's his home Grand Prix and everything. But, definite worthy shout to Bottas. It's a great, great recovery drive from ninth. And, he's kept himself in it, I would say, anyway.
Team of the weekend?
Mercedes, isn't it? 1-2, quicker than Ferrari. Everything ran smoothly.
But I wouldn't disagree.
I don't think you can disagree. Yes.
No. One of those weekends, which again is why it's interesting what people at home make of it, you know, compared to us being in the bubble and buzzing at actually seeing the cars live. It'll be interesting to know what people made of it watching at home as per normal. Goat, Pastor of the weekend, who mucked up? I mean, for Ferrari to have two cars fail on the last lap due to tyre issues, to me, makes me think, hang on, you've not engineered that, right? Because no one else has had the same issue. And for it to happen to both cars at the same point.
Yeah, it's a good point. I will say, however, though, Renault, just because of Palmer's poor weekend.
Fair enough.
Well, sorry, not weekend, race, I should say. I'll take not the weekend, the race.
Yeah, can't remember what happened before we got here.
Probably, Ferrari, just for messing up. And Vettel as well, a pretty poor weekend. Couldn't get past Max, I qualified by Kimi. Yeah, Vettel / Ferrari.
Which leaves Highlight. Now, I mean, it's a bit convoluted, I suppose, but for me, the battle between Max and Seb was excellent. But I think just where we got to watch this race from, if you watch the race back or the highlights, you will see almost all the action happening at the end of the hangar straight, which is where we were stood. We got to see Seb's tyre delaminate in front of us. We got to see Ricciardo pull off numerous overtakes, likewise Bottas as he was closing in on Seb. Brilliant.
It was, yeah. That's a good highlight. I mean, for me personally, just being here. Never, first time at a Grand Prix, so it's brilliant.
Yeah, all of that. Plus, I did really enjoy the Sauber battle. For some reason, I just found it quite amusing and just how desperate drivers even at the back of the grid are to try and beat their teammate.
Quite, which again is what you can appreciate watching it live. You see every car come past you 52 times. You get to follow all the battles rather than just what the TV cameras are following. We should also pick up on the GP3 race, because we had the only person who actually went off, and I don't know who it was, who retired in the GP3 race.
It was F2, wasn't it?
Was it F2?
Sure, it was F2, yeah.
Yeah, F2.
F2 race, apologies. Yeah, okay. But we still don't know who it was?
No, I can see. Okay. I can see Joe.
They went off on the hangar straight on the far side, or the inside line of the circuit, and actually ended up across in front of us and literally retiring in front of us. There was a whole front wing there ready for us to pick up as a souvenir had we been quick enough, and somehow scaled the fence. So not really great ideas, but still.
Yeah, we may have got the wing, but we probably would have been chucked out of the track. And
then we'd have missed the Formula 1, actually.
Exactly. So, yeah, we were eating part of the gravel that he was making his way through, or gravel dust.
It's great to be allowed onto the track within sort of 10 minutes. Basically, by the time the drivers were coming out on the podium, we got to get ourselves on the track with tens of thousands of other people. Souvenirs, people were racing on and nicking up the brake board markers, 150 metres to go. And we were, of course, at the end of the DRS zone, so that was handy, because there's probably markers there that people could pick up and run off with. They are massive souvenirs. I've got a marble. That's all about here, and we bought a programme. You bought a programme, so.
Yeah, I bought a programme. It costs a lot, but you got to have something to take away from the weekend, and I'm going to have loads of fun with the stickers inside of putting the drivers in the position they started and finished. So
I managed to avoid buying any caps, which was good. And we should also credit, was it your mum who made the sausage rolls for us?
Both my parents, mum and dad, team effort.
Fantastic sausage rolls.
Well, I will tell them you said thank you. Yeah, but yeah, they are brilliant. Lovely. It's my parents' speciality, one of many. So,
what do you rank of the sausage rolls?
They're unbelievable, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. They were basically a Lewis Hamilton Drive equivalent of sausage rolls.
We should have saved one for Lewis, just sit, throwing it up to the podium or something.
I think it'd like that.
Well,
I think it'd
like that. A new shoey instead of a shoey, just sausage roll.
Lots of people waving at people. The cameras are coming past. What I've learned since the race finished is that people will wave at anything that looks like a camera here. So that's good. If you see three miserable people not waving, that will be us, because everyone else is waving at things. Fair play to them. Can't blame them for that. Also, I would like to congratulate us for getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, at 3 o'clock in the morning in most cases, to actually make this race and book our spot. That was very... And again, it's gone so quickly. You don't really begrudge yourselves getting up so early. And we should also say congratulations, George Russell. He picked up a win in GP3 yesterday, and then followed it up with a fourth from P8 today. So that's Norfolk's own George Russell doing a stellar job, and he liked our tweet.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the overtake was in front of us as well, wasn't it? Down the straight into Stowe. So.
It was literally like they said, look, no one do anything unless it's in front of the NRF1 podcast, and thank you, Formula One, for that. We've done our best to repay the favour by bigging up just how good this was and probably boosting your attendances tenfold. So there we go. I think that only leads us to wrap up a rating for the race, really, which we normally do out of 11, I think. Clearly, this wasn't Baku. I would say it was better than Austria. As good as Canada? Better than Canada?
Better than Canada.
Mm. It probably needs to be more than an 8, then, by memory serves. But, you know, you can make your own rating. I'm not swaying you.
9. Toyota 0.5. I'll stick at 9.
We were here as well, which may be artificially inflating the scores. We don't know yet.
I did say that into Kane.
Yeah, I want to say 9 as well.
Yeah?
So straight, solid. It was a good race. I mean, there was a lot happening. And of course, the fans got to see what they want with a British winner. Good, good result.
I'm chuffed I'm not a jinx. I can't remember if I've said that, but I'm so chuffed that I'm not a jinx to Lewis Hamilton, because there's one thing I never got to see. The closest I got was seeing Lewis battle for P5 with Felipe Massa on the last corner, and the noise from that was something special. That was during my covering the race for 3 years, and of course, as soon as I stopped, Lewis Hamilton won the race 3 times, but now he's run it a 4th time, and we all got to see that, which is much enjoyable. I would probably give the race an 8.5, probably, but more than enjoyable, and Well, it leaves the season in a great place, really, doesn't it? And we're all renewed vigour for what's ahead come Hungary in 2 weeks. Is that the next race?
Yeah, the last race before the summer break, which is crazy that half the season's nearly gone already. But yeah, can be better. 1 point between the top two, and Bottas can't be far behind with his good finish today. So, yeah, it's all looking rather tasty.
All looking tasty with, of course, the test after the Hungary weekend as well, which may still have a big impact on what happens in the second half of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, we've got all the news to find out about the rumours surrounding Palmer as well. So, a lot more excitement to come.
Right, I think we should wrap it up because I feel knackered and we've still got to drive home and there's lots going on here, isn't there? It's going to go on and on tonight.
I fancy some chips as well. So.
I'm starving, yeah. As good as the sausage rolls were, Rich, I think we need some food. So a big thank you to you all for listening. Hope you've been patient with us because we really have no idea what's just happened, but we really enjoyed watching it and I hope that's come across. Normal service will resume next week when we tee up Hungary. We'll hopefully do a predictions update and all that sort of stuff, and we'll bring you the latest Formula One news and maybe fill in some of the holes we might have missed this weekend. But I hope you appreciate that, because we thought it was only right that with the three of us here at Silverstone taking in the British Grand Prix live, we would actually record our podcast here on the start finish straight at Silverstone, fresh after Lewis Hamilton's record-breaking victory in the British Grand Prix. What a time to be alive for British Formula One fans. And in fairness, if you're just a Formula One fan from everywhere, I'd say it's a pretty good time to be alive with everything that's going on around the sport too. Thanks again to gpro.net. As always, you can sign up at nrf1.uk. You can find the click-through link there. Thanks very much to Kyle and to Rich. Thank you to Silverstone for allowing us to record here. I presume they have done that. And of course, if you visit all our social media feeds, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at the NRF1 and nrf1.uk/nrf1tube, you can watch our videos and pictures and all sorts of comments and commentaries from what has been a fantastic British Grand Prix weekend. God, imagine if we didn't come to Silverstone after 2019, hey? Imagine it. All right, thanks all for listening. Goodbye.